Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're coming off of a really eventful weekend here at headquarters of the Philadelphia Church of God, the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus in Edmond, Oklahoma. But first, I just want to give you a quick update. I recall that April 13th was a church-wide fast for the finances of the work. This is what the April 12th PCG News email said. Pastor General Gerald Fleury has called a church-wide fast for this Sabbath, April 13th, to ask God for financial blessings for his work. Donation income is close to last year's record high, but the church is also seeking to take advantage of increased opportunities and meeting rising costs in printing, airtime, concerts and excavation, website redesigns, congregational hall rentals, aircraft repairs, campaigns, and other projects. Chief Financial Officer Andrew Locher urged members, "Remember our situation in your prayers and offerings, and let's use this fast time to come before God as a united family, asking him to provide some financial miracles for his work." And then it says their members should fast from sunset April 12th to sunset April 13th if possible. Well, we did fast, and that was just a little bit over a month ago now. This past Sabbath, Mr. Fleury read another report from Mr. Locher at Sabbath services during his sermon, and he reported that we had just received the strongest Days of Unleavened Bread offerings ever. In the United States, those offerings were up by 5%, Canada was up 12%, Australia 19%, and New Zealand 14%. Also, in April, we received more first tithe money and more general offerings than any April ever. So in 29 years, this is the most ever. Pretty exciting. Well, it seems like we have definitely responded to that church-wide fast. We took to heart that admonition, and God worked miracles, and we have all definitely upped our contributions to the work. Yesterday was one of the biggest events of the year. This was the Herbert W. Armstrong College commencement ceremony. Yesterday, 32 two- and four-year graduates completed their journeys at this life-changing educational institution. And I hope I have this number correct. I believe it was 25 two-year graduates and 7 four-year graduates. Yesterday, I actually received an email from one of my classmates who reminded the group of us that since we graduated in 2015, we have now been out of college for as long as we were in college. So 4 years in college, and now we've been out of college for 4 years as well. It's incredible how fast time goes by. In that sermon on this past Sabbath, Mr. Fleury did speak directly to the graduating class of 2019. This is clip one.
When you think about it, well, you students, here you are in a little college like this. Do you really see and understand deeply how different we are, and that there isn't another college on this earth that has anything like God putting us right in the middle of this country and its government and telling it what is really going to happen and how inspiring this all is in spite of the Great Tribulation.
So as you heard there, the college students who just graduated this past weekend from Armstrong College have an incredible opportunity in front of them. And we all get to support this work. The college students are a really important part of that. And they have such a greater purpose coming out of college than really you could think of any of these other college students graduating around the country, around the world right now. It's not just about going out and getting a stable job and making some good money and having the ability to pay off student loan debts. That's not even something that exists with Armstrong College. We have the opportunity at that college, at this college, to pay off that debt as we go through the student work program. We here at this college, in this work, have an opportunity to reach the nation and reach the world, as Mr. Fleury talked about there. It really is an incredibly inspiring vision for all of these graduates. For me, college was a life-changing blur. It went by so quickly. And it was strange because there wasn't really any homework. I was surprised by how packed the schedule was and how much there still was to do, despite not having hardly any homework at all, because there was a lot of memorization, there were pop quizzes, reading, papers, final exams, and then you have 20 hours as your student work job, and then you have spokesman club for the males, choir, intramural sports, Philadelphia club, which is especially a way of serving the seniors in the local congregation, and then we're expected to date widely, date God's way, the right way, usually a couple times a week, and then you add on top of all that, formal events, which really do give us a glimpse of the royalty, the royal atmosphere that God expects us to try to uphold all the time. I remember when I was in college thinking that if I could just survive those 4 years of this really packed schedule, what they call a pressure cooker environment, that life would be so much easier once I graduated. And I knew that wouldn't actually be true. I was tricking myself into believing that. Many graduates had told me that it wouldn't actually get easier after college. Common sense also told me that living in the real world would be harder than in that subsidized and comfortable college environment. But that was, I guess, my irrational hope that it would get a little bit easier, that I could, I guess, reach the finish line and then collapse in a heap and relax for 6 months or a year or 2 years, travel the world, take my time, and then get back to work. And that's definitely not how these things turn out. And I should have known that. I did know that at the time. But here is a really great quote from Mr. Stephen Fleury. He's the Dean of Students over at the England branch of the college. And he wrote this booklet, Education with Vision. And in the second chapter, he gives keys to success. Point six here is, continually add new and exciting challenges to your life. This is especially timely for all of the college graduates because they have advanced past the 2-year or the 4-year program. They're going to be entering a new stage in life, and maybe they're entering a stage where they're going to try to have to figure out what to do with their evenings. Maybe because they're not in that crammed college program, the evenings might seem more free. Or maybe just daily life in general during the workday seems a lot less hectic. But it is really important at this time to continually add new and exciting challenges to your life. Mr. Fleury writes here, always observe, think, and learn. Seek a better, more productive way of doing things. You have the mind to do it. That is what makes life interesting. It's what stimulates personal growth. Unless we try to go beyond what we have already mastered, we will never grow. A life full of obstacles and challenges is a blessing. Don't fall for the life of ease and relaxation that so many desire. Happiness comes from working hard at what you do and doing it well. That's very true. And like I said, I had that pipe dream during college of just a life of ease when I was done. And thankfully, toward the end of it, I grew to realize that that wasn't actually desirable. That wasn't the way that I wanted to live after college was over. But it can be tempting when at college you're busier than you ever have been in your whole life, and it's not even close. Here is point seven from the Education with Vision booklet. These are the keys to success from chapter two. And point number seven is, realize that true education never stops. Mr. Fleury writes, school is not a 4-year institution. It's a lifelong project. Focus on developing the whole person. Never stop in your studies of great men and women. Always seek counsel before making big decisions. Continue to develop communication and social skills. Build new friendships. Look for and take advantage of new opportunities to serve. Acquire educational hobbies. Seize every opportunity to travel. Take part in an enjoyable sport. Get regular exercise. So, there's obviously no end to the ways we could fill our evenings, fill our time, even when college ends, or whatever busy stage of life we're in comes to an end. Here is another audio clip that we have. This applies to everyone, but especially to those who are graduating. This is from former Navy SEAL Jocko Willink. He recently did a video for Prager University. This is clip two.
There are no shortcuts. There are no hacks. If you want to take the easy road, I promise you it's longer and more painful than the hard road. I know. I've lived it. I've ventured down the easy road at times in my life, and it never led to anywhere good. The positive things in my life always came when I faced the biggest challenges. I joined the Navy. I took the hard road in the Navy and made it into the SEAL teams. There, I had the honor of leading men in combat. I learned some lessons along the way, lessons that have been tested on the battlefield and, when implemented, lead to success in any arena. One of the best things I've learned is that anyone has what it takes to travel the hard road, to walk the path that leads to success. That includes you. It won't be easy. It will demand everything you've got to give, but you can do it. And I want to give you three key principles I've learned that will help you to get it done. Principle number one, discipline equals freedom. That's not a contradiction, it's an equation. Discipline might appear to be the opposite of freedom, but in fact, discipline is the path to freedom. Discipline is the driver of daily execution. Discipline defeats the infinite excuses that hold you back. Some people think motivation is what will compel them to get things done. But motivation is just an emotion, a feeling. And like all feelings, it's fickle. It comes and goes. You can't count on motivation to be there when you need to get through truly challenging times. But you can count on discipline. Discipline is something you dictate. Motivation won't make you exercise every day. Discipline will. Motivation won't stay up late and finish a project for you. Discipline will. Motivation isn't going to get you out of bed in the morning. Discipline will. Make discipline part of your daily life, and your daily life will get better. Principle number two, stay humble. In life, you are going to have to do things that you don't want to do. Maybe things that you don't think you should have to do. Things that offend your precious ego. When I got done with basic SEAL training and reported on board SEAL Team 1, you know what I was assigned to do? I was assigned to clean toilets. That's right. Despite having just graduated some of the most difficult military training in the world, despite being assigned to an elite commando unit, my first mission at the actual SEAL team was to clean toilets. Not exactly a glorious job. But you know what? I did it. I did it to the best of my ability and took pride in doing it well. And that attitude got noticed. If I cared that much about how clean the toilets were, people knew I would do a good job with even more important assignments. After a short period of time, I got those more important assignments. But it was humility that opened the door for me. Now, being humble does not mean you shouldn't be confident. You certainly have to believe that you are a capable person. But don't let confidence turn into arrogance. So keep your ego in check and stay humble. The third and final principle, take ownership of everything. I call this extreme ownership. In the military, the best leaders and the best troops were the ones that took ownership of everything in their world. Not just the things they were responsible for, but for every challenge and obstacle that impacted their mission. When something went wrong, they cast no blame. They made no excuses. They took ownership of the problem and fixed it. You can implement this attitude as well, not only in your job, but in your life. Let other people blame their parents, their boss, or the system. Let weaker people complain that the world isn't fair. You are the leader of your life. Take ownership of everything in it. So, be disciplined in all that you do. Don't subject yourself to the whims of motivation. Stay humble and be willing to do what needs to be done. And take extreme ownership of your life and everything in it. Then, choose the hard path. The path of responsibility, hard work, and sacrifice. The path of discipline, humility, and ownership that ultimately leads to freedom. If you follow these principles, then nothing in the world will stop you.
So that was Jocko Willink, who is a former U.S. Navy SEAL. And if you haven't already jumped up and gone for a hard run in the rain after hearing that, I have a little bit left to tell you today. It really does apply well what he was talking about to college graduates. It's not just the college program here that is regimented and disciplined, but it's the Philadelphia Youth Camp program for the teenagers before they even get to the age of being eligible for college. It's literally probably 16 hours a day is planned out. Really 24 hours a day is planned out for those young people at camp here on the campus every summer. They have their 16 hours planned out for daytime. They have their 8 hours scheduled for the same exact time to go to sleep every night. And then that leads into the college environment. And at that point, once you get past college, maybe it can be a little bit easier to get away from that kind of a regimented routine. And that's where discipline comes in, where maybe a parent or a teacher or a boss isn't necessarily looking over our shoulder anymore, but it's still important for us to work hard to schedule our lives and make the most of our time. And then, of course, humility. Once you graduate, you see that out in the world all the time. People who graduated expect to pretty much be hired into six-figure jobs right away and to take pretty much the fourth or fifth in command of an entire big company right out of college. And that simply isn't realistic. And around here, those who stick around at headquarters after graduating all of a sudden are at the bottom of the hierarchy and they work their way up. It's not a situation where they immediately vault to the top, because that wouldn't be good for humility. And so obviously what Jocko Willink was talking about there really does apply big time to college graduates. We will end the show today with a recording of the student body president's speech. This is from the commencement yesterday, and this was given by my producer, Gino Chee's dear friend, Justice Brown. And by the way, Gino was written about in the latest PCG News weekly email, as he is struggling to provide extra proof to the Trump administration that he is not an illegal alien. So Gino is getting a lot of recognition lately around here. Okay, anyway, here is Justice Brown's speech, and this will conclude the show. I'm Grant Turgeon. You're listening to Behind the Work, Clip 3.
Today we're here to celebrate the educational accomplishments of two graduating classes, the two-year graduates and the four-year graduates of Armstrong College. Today is a commencement. It's a beginning. It's a time where we start anew, where we start our future to see what awaits, the mystery of what is next. A commencement doesn't just mean the beginning or a start. It can also mean an inception, an initiation. It can also mean a launch or a dawn. Well, students, we are launching into our futures. And this is just the dawn of our lives, and it'll grow brighter and brighter with each passing day. What will our future grow to be? Can we answer that question? Individually, what will you do? What will you accomplish? How will you impact this world with what you've been taught here and what you've learned? Can you answer that question? Well, I say that we can. I say that we can answer that question by looking to the past. To look to the future, we must go to the past. So let's do that today. Let's go back to 1946. The inception of what would be called Ambassador College was founded by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. His purpose? The work needed more people to get the work done. It was small, very, very small. It needed to grow. He wanted it to reach the world. So he needed to teach. He needed to educate. And that's exactly what he did with Ambassador College. It was just Mr. Armstrong and his wife at that point that were doing most of the work for God's work at that point in time. And the aim of that college was to recapture true values, not just any value, but real, true values, lasting values that would be taught to these young students to go on out into the world. Now, Mr. Armstrong often said that a strong family is a strong nation. What you guys are taught, what you go on to do, that'll help with the strength of this nation. Now, Mr. Armstrong said this in his autobiography about the college being started. He said, the college swung its doors open on October 8th, 1947. There were only four students, only four, my son, Richard Armstrong, Herman Hay, Raymond Cole, and Betty Bates. There were no dormitories, no place for students to be in residence on the original little campus. We had some books and encyclopedias on shelves. In one room that served as the music room, the assembly room, the library room, and the lounge, but no real college library. There was no gymnasium, no track or athletic field. That's a very, very humble and small beginning that Mr. Armstrong's talking about. And yet it didn't dismay him, didn't cause him to think any less of what he was doing. Going on with that quote, he says, I suppose many people would laugh at the idea of dignifying that by the name of college. He has that in quotes. But there is a reason why it had to begin that small. Now, he knew it was small, but again, that didn't dismay him. It didn't cause him to think anything less of it. But this next part of the quote shows his attitude, Mr. Armstrong's attitude, of why he established this college. He says, when the great God, the creator and ruler of the vast universe, does something by himself, he demonstrates his supreme power by doing it in a stupendous and awe-inspiring manner. But when it is actually God who is doing something through humans, it must start the smallest, like the grain of the mustard seed, the smallest of herbs, which grows to become the largest. God's work through humans must start the smallest, but grow and grow and grow until they become the biggest. Mr. Armstrong truly had a vision for expanding, a mind for expansion, expanding God's college to the world, to impact the world. And he often referred to the start of the college and the work as infinitesimally small, so small it's almost microscopic. You can't even see it. But he had an idea, a vision to grow into the future, to become the largest of works, the largest of colleges, not in size, but in impact. Now, he had that vision of recapturing true values, and because God was behind it, it had an amazing impact on the world, and still does today. Those students who went through Ambassador College were taught how to live abundant lives, day by day, recapturing a value here, a value there, and that education was fused with vision. They had classes on how to properly use your finances, how to have God in your marriage and your family, have home economics, nutrition and foods courses, international relations, teaching you why a nation is strong geographically, culturally, economically, and how that relates with others, classical English literature, and public speaking courses, and to round it all off, physical education, being fit. And they were all founded on the Bible. You can found every single one of those courses in the Bible. And Mr. Armstrong saw the need to recapture true values both inside and outside of the home, and he was giving it directly to those students. The need was very necessary. Now, that was a very, very, very small beginning with only four students, eight teachers, and that went on to grow into a worldwide work with three campuses across the world, one in Pasadena, California, the other in Bricketwood, England, and the third one in Big Sandy, Texas, with thousands of students. They were involved in scientific expeditions in association with Leopold III Foundation for the exploration and conservation of nature. The college was also engaged in a large-scale archaeological project in joint participation with Hebrew University of Jerusalem, a Babylonian archaeologist, Giorgio Buscelletti, and with the Japanese government, with other institutions in Syria, as well as cultural and humanitarian projects in Southeast Asia, also the Kingdom of Jordan and in Africa. 4 students, 8 teachers, reaching the whole globe because of that vision that Mr. Armstrong had to recapture true values. In every single way, Ambassador College was unique. In magnificence of the campus that it had, in the character of its buildings and the grounds, it was spotless, it was clean. And also the physical setting, which had produced character in both the young men and women at the college. This was a small, small beginning, but again, it grew into a great, great work. And this, again, was all done through Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, our founder. And we honor him today through graduation. We look back on what he did, and we honor his legacy. And Mr. Armstrong met presidents, he met prime ministers, kings and princes. He met ambassadors and officers, mayors and judges all across the world, and they were all through personal invitation. And what did he go to those world leaders with? He went to those world leaders with a message of peace, but that is the same message you've been taught for 2 and 4 years. So you can go and take that message to the world as well. Our college is no different here today. It doesn't differ in any way from what Mr. Armstrong established. We are teaching education with vision while recapturing true values in each and every one of our students. Now, looking at our past students, we can know what our future is. We can look to the future and be sure of what we're going to produce, know who we'll impact and what we will do and how we will do it, because we look to the past. We look to Mr. Armstrong. Mr. Fleury raised up this college in the exact same footsteps as Mr. Armstrong, and we walk in those each and every day. Now, students, we only number 32 our combined classes. 32 students to graduate 2 and 4 years. Now, in Mr. Armstrong's word, that's infinitesimally small. Very, very small. But don't be dismayed. Our work always starts small and grows to impact the world, and so will you. So, graduates of Armstrong College, let's commence our new lives today. As we launch into the future with full thrusters, as our future dawns and burns brighter and brighter each day, continue in the Armstrong legacy. Continue in his legacy. Let God be right in the middle of your small beginning and grow each and every day to have a bright future.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.